I'm starting to feel like there's never a time that's not an allergy season. Okay. I'm sorry. Excuse me. All right. During this time of the year, as I said last week, we don't look to see if we're in the book of life. We know we're in the book of life already because of the blood of the Lamb. Because we're cleansed by that blood, because of his love, he's already inscribed us into the book of life, into the book of life. Nothing takes us out unless we walk out of the book. Nothing can snatch us out of the book. We're there. We can walk away from it, but we're there if we don't. If we run the good race, we are in the book of life. But this time of the season, when we're coming up to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, it's still a good time to see if we're still aligned with Adonai properly. It's a good time to check if we've deviated a bit from the path that he's laid out for us. Are we still on that path? Are we doing what we should be doing? Have we strayed a little bit? Perhaps we believe we're doing well. But if we look into the corners of our hearts, I bet there's something hiding there. A little darkness that needs some light to be shined onto it. Needs to be cleansed. We've all got that. I'm not saying you're dark because of that. I'm saying we all need to be careful about what hides into the corners of our heart. When we review our lives, we want to believe that we're not just doing good, but that we're doing very good with the Lord. We want to say what he says to do, I do. What he said is to say, I say. That's what each one of us want to say with a clear conscience. And there are times that we may even believe that, but we're actually falling short. It's not because we're relying to the Ruach. It's not even, because we're trying to lie to ourselves. But it's because the heart's not always known. Even to the one who owns the heart. We don't even know our own heart sometimes. Now the prophet Jeremiah tells us who we want to be and who we can be in Messiah, but also who we can be if we depend upon our own heart. So first, who we want to be and what we really aim to be in him is found in Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8. It says this, blessed is the one who trusts in Adonai, whose confidence is in Adonai. For he will be like a tree planted by the water, spreading out his roots by the stream. It has no fear when heat comes, but its leaves will be green. It does not worry in a year of drought, nor depart from yielding fruit. That's what we want to be, right? We want to be the one who trusts in Adonai. We want to be seen as that tree planted by the stream, which is really the Ruach. We want to have our roots go down deep in his word. We want to have those leaves or that fruit that's always healthy, always plentiful. We want to be the one that depends on Adonai when the storms come so that we don't wilt. But right away, Jeremiah also warns us that we might actually be a little off if we're depending on our hearts to get us there, to guide us there. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10 says, The heart, I mean, like this is right after the first part that I just read. The heart is deceitful above all things and incurable. Who can know it? I, Adonai, search the heart. I try the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. This is our heart. Our heart is flesh. It's not who we want to be, but it's what each of us are actually fighting each and every day. We fight being deceitful, and we fight trying not to keep secrets from people. Secrets in our hearts that we hope even Adonai doesn't get to see. This is why Adonai himself needs to try the mind and look at the heart. We may think we know ourselves, but the truth is there are things about each of us that we don't even know about ourselves. Things that we'll do in situations that we're so surprised about after it's done. We get through something and we go, I did that. Wait a second. And maybe those things sometimes can be good things, but sometimes those things are not so good. And those are the things that really surprise us. I did that. That situation caused me to do that. This is why we need to let Adonai search us. Because we can't always see everything in our own heart. So this leads to the question of whether we're following fully or partially in our obedience towards Adonai. Sometimes it's a blind spot within our vision of our hearts. And sometimes it's a lack of understanding that'll cause us to act with only a partial obedience. But prayerfully, it's not a conscious decision to cause an action that's either a partial obedience, which is really a disobedience, or just acting out of outright rebellion. The Israelites, when they were living in the promised land, did not want to be living in rebellion towards Adonai. The instructions to help them keep that in mind was to bring the offering to the place that Adonai designated, which of course was the tabernacle which David built and then the temple that Solomon built. And when they did this, here were the instructions for them. Deuteronomy 26, 12 through 19. When you finish tithing the full tenth of your produce in the third year, the year of the tithe, you are to give it to the Levite, to the outsider, to the orphan, and to the widow, so that they may eat within your town's gates and be satisfied. Then you are to say before Adonai your God, I have removed the holy tithe from the house, and also have given it to the Levite, and to the outsider, to the orphan, to the widow, according to your mitzvot that you have commanded me, according to your instructions that you have commanded me. I have not transgressed or forgotten any of your mitzvot. I have not eaten from the tithe in my mourning or removed any of it while unclean or given any of it to the dead. I have obeyed your voice of Adonai my God. I have done all just as you have commanded me. Look down from your holy dwelling place, from the heavens, and bless your people Israel and the soil you have given us, as you swore to our fathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. This day Adonai your God is commanding you to do these statutes and ordinances, so you are to take care and do them with all your heart and with all your soul. This is what each of the head of the household was to say when they brought their tithe to Adonai. They were told what to bring, how to bring it, what to say when they brought it. And it was all as a way to keep the righteous thoughts in the forefront so they wouldn't sin. These instructions of the first fruits were given before they even got into the promised land. In fact, here it was a special tithing that was to be done on the third year of entering into the promised land. The wording here is for this one time only. Only on this third year was this special tithing to be taken up. But that doesn't take us off the hook for tithing. Our regular tithe was described in Deuteronomy 14. So although this is a special tithe that only comes on the third year after entering the land, it doesn't mean that we stop tithing. This was the third year of coming into the promised land. There was to be a regular tithe called for in chapter 14 done each year, but also for the first 3 years, they were to collect and they were to hold another tithe until the third year described here in chapter 26. This was all to remind them to fully obey his words, his instructions. And when we do, then we're free to read the blessings in the verses that follow, starting in verse 18. Now today, Adonai has affirmed you as his treasured people, as he promised you, that you are to keep all his mitzvot, that he will set you high above the nations he has made for praise, fame, and honor, and that you are to be a holy people to God, to Adonai, your God, as he promised. When we fully obey, we are not owed goodness from Adonai. Doesn't owe it to us. But it's his great pleasure to accept us as his treasured people. We don't buy this from him. He's not obligated just because we do it, but he wants to do it for us, just as we should want to do for him. By doing his instructions, not just here regarding the first fruits and tithing, but all the instructions and all the words that he's given us, then we're allowing him to rain down from heaven upon us so that we can be treasured by him and that we can be set high to be a holy people, to be Adonai's, just as he promised us. What we need to see in all this is the necessity of to be fully obedient. We're told, don't just be partially obedient to his instructions. And the unfortunate truth for some is that although they come on Shabbat, and though they rest in him, they receive his love, just by being in his presence, we're actually called to do more than that. There are instructions that we're to follow, and follow fully, not just partially. John tells us in 1 John what's expected from us and also what we can expect from him. 1 John 2, starting in verse 3. Now we know that we have come to know him by this, if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him is love of God, is truly made perfect. We know that we are in him by this. Whoever claims to abide in him must walk just as he walked. We're encouraged, and perhaps a better way of saying it, encouraged, is we're instructed to keep his commandments. But we need to be careful not to interpret this as keeping just some of the commandments. His words do not really leave a crack open to allow us to think all we have to do is most of them. What we do is all of them, but just mostly do them. We have to do them all. And how do we get this from that verse from John? It says we must walk just like he walked. Who is the he? Well, of course, the he is Yeshua. And how did he walk? Fully in the instructions of Adonai. Fully in the instructions of Torah. And without sin or doubt of who Adonai is. And what was expected of him by Adonai. We are told that just as Yeshua walked in full obedience, so we must walk in full obedience as well. Again, we must not be fooled into thinking that a partial obedience would be okay and even acceptable. Even when it's a lack of understanding, we need to be careful. An example of someone who thought they were good with Adonai but was really falling short of expectations was Saul. Let's take a look in 1 Samuel 15. Saul gets this instructions from Adonai through the prophet Samuel. Samuel 15, 1. Then Samuel said to Saul, Adonai sent me to anoint you as king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore listen to the voice of the word of Adonai. Thus says Adonai to Tzvaot, I remember what Amalek did to Israel. How he set himself against him on the way that he was coming up from Egypt. Now go and strike Amalek and put all he has under the ban of destruction. I have no pity on him, but kill both men and women, children and nursing infants, oxen and sheep, camels and donkeys. Saul heard this, gets an army, goes out. This is where we pick it up in verse 15. Then Saul struck down the Amalekites from Havilah until you come to Shur, which is close to Egypt. He captured King Agag of Amalek alive and utterly destroyed all of the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, as well as the best of the sheep, the cattle, and even the fatlings of the lambs, and all that was good, since they were not willing to utterly destroy them. Everything that was worthless and feeble, they destroyed completely. Then the word of Adonai came to Samuel, saying, I regret that I made Saul king, for he has turned back from following me and has not carried out my commandments. So Samuel was troubled and cried out to Adonai all night long. Now, to the outsider, it seems very obvious. Saul didn't do what he was told to do. He was told, go, destroy everything, and come back with nothing. He wasn't supposed to bring anything back from them. But he does. And when confronted with his failure to do this, this is his defense, 1 Samuel 15, 20. But I did obey the voice of Adonai, Saul said to Samuel. I went on the mission in which Adonai sent me. I brought back Agag, the king of Amalek, and utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Saul says, I did. I followed the instructions. He even believed that bringing back Agag, the king, was part of it because he thinks he destroyed the Amalekites. And he did, other than the king. And he destroyed all the feeble animals, other than the really good stuff. He thinks, in his mind, that he was obedient. But he was only partially obedient. He lacked the full obedience that Adonai requires for a blessing on the person, on the land, and on the nation. And Samuel tells Saul something that's been misinterpreted for centuries thereafter. You still hear this today. Listen to what Samuel says about partial obedience from Saul. 1 Samuel 15:22. Samuel says, does Adonai delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of Adonai? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to pay heed than fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and stubbornness is like iniquity and idolatry. Since you have rejected Adonai's words, he's also rejected you as king. Two really powerful verses right there. They give a great truth about full and partial obedience. Now, so many have looked here and said these verses mean that Adonai does not want sacrifices anymore. This could not be further than from the truth. He's making comparison of burnt offerings and sacrifices to full obedience. He never says one is now acceptable and the other is not. He is saying that one cannot be accepted without the other. The sacrifices are not acceptable without full obedience. Full obedience to what? To every word that comes from the mouth of Adonai. In his word, whether it was from Moses, in the Torah, the prophets, the writings, the Brit Hadashah, all of it. All that's written in Scripture is by the inspiration of the Ruach and his truth and must be fully obeyed in full obedience. Then we need to ask, what does full obedience look like? Well, what does it mean? It means fully submitting ourselves to him, to his word to us. It means doing fully and not partially. It means not having a foot in this world and a foot in his kingdom. Being fully submitted will lead us to demonstrating his love towards others. We will act in a way that pleases him. Then we will be walking in a way that demonstrates our love for him. And by demonstrating our love for him, we're walking like Messiah Yeshua, loving those around us and treating them as members of the kingdom. And if they're not members of the kingdom yet, acting like we want them to be members of the kingdom. This is how Yeshua walked when he was on earth, and how we're to see him even now. We're to see him through the actions of others and through the actions of the Ruach, the Spirit. All of this doesn't mean that we have to be perfect, though. Don't get me wrong. We're never going to be perfect. He doesn't expect us to be perfect during our walk in this life. The blood of Messiah will cover over some disobedience depending on its source. If it's intentional partial disobedience, and therefore intentional disobedience, then Adonai will view it as a sin, and that intentional sin will not be cleansed by the blood because of the hard attitude behind it. But if it's a partial disobedience and the hard attitude is to fully obey, but the flesh causes sin, so it's not intentional, then the blood will cleanse the sin from us so that we may maintain our relationship with the one who loves us because he knows our hard attitude. This is why we need to self-exam. Not just during this time of the year, not just during Rosh Hashanah, the month of Elul, the days of awe, Yom Kippur. Yeah, maybe we put a little extra bling to it, a little extra thought to it, a little extra effort into it. But the reality is, we should be self-examining ourselves every day. We need to do it not just during the holidays. We need to do it every time. Every time we go in prayer. Every time we come to Shabbat. Every time we come to Him, which could be multiple times a day, should be multiple times a day. That's why we need the Ruach to help us, to show us those dark corners in our hearts. Because who are we to look? How could we know? We don't even know our own heart. There are too many dark corners to hide in for our sin. You okay in there? I don't see anything. Let's get the light of the Ruach in there. Now you're going to see stuff that may not make you happy. But you know what? It pleases the Father when that's exposed. Because now we can deal with it. It's that sin that's put aside that, hey, we don't even want to know about it. You know, I'm ignoring it. That's going to get us in trouble. It's the sin that we acknowledge and say, I want to put that to death. I want that sin to die and never be in me again. That's the heart attitude we need. That's where we have to be. So we say, Father, send your Ruach, your flashlight to shine into the corners of my heart so that I can see those sins. And then help me to put an end to them. Not just that I would stop it now, but I would stop it forever. Ruach HaKodesh, we ask that you would lift us up out of those things that we don't want to do. Lift us up so that we can see. Lift us up so that we can conquer those sins. Lift us up so that we can be more like you. And we can only be like you when Ruach, you help us. Can't do it on our own. And that's why each and every day we need to pray. Ruach, help me. Help me overcome the flesh. Help me overcome the lies that I tell myself. Help me overcome all those things the world wants me to believe, but that I know are not true. Ruach HaKodesh, we thank you and praise you that it's your will to help us through all of this. We thank you and praise you in Yeshua's name, and everyone says, Amen and Amen.